Welcome to Berry Aftercare, the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Connie Stapleton. This is episode 75, Refuse, Regain. Follow the bariatric basics as outlined by Dr. Susan Mitchell, bariatric registered dietitian. The absolute best way to refuse regain is to follow the bariatric basics. Today's episode is one you will want to listen to on a regular basis. Today, I interviewed Dr. Susan Mitchell, a bariatric registered dietitian and host of her own acclaimed podcast, Bariatric Surgery Success, which you will want to listen to regularly. The link to her website and information will be in the show notes. Be sure to sign up for her newsletter too, because I learn all sorts of good things from Dr. Susan. But in this episode today, Dr. Susan breaks down the basics for how post-op patients need to eat in order to be their biologically healthiest and remain at a healthier weight following bariatric surgery. Definitely invite anybody you know who's had bariatric surgery or who is planning to have bariatric surgery to listen to today's podcast. And for more information on how to refuse regain, check out the entire bariatric care program and previous episodes of this podcast, bariatric care. You can learn more about the bariatric care program at www.bariatriccare.com. Now let's get on with this really important episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to bariatric care. I don't know if you're listening on the podcast or watching the video, but today is a really, really important and special day for me and for you, because I have a guest today who has never been on my podcast before, but I've been on hers, and I want you to listen to Dr. Susan's podcast. It's called Bariatric Surgery Success, and hers is an acclaimed podcast. Let me tell you, she's won awards for this podcast. And Dr. Susan is going to introduce herself, but I will just tell you, she is a bariatric registered dietitian. She has been in the field for a long, long time. She knows what she's talking about, and she has a long history on radio and podcasting. So she knows what she's doing. I just throw things out there. This woman's a professional in every aspect. So Dr. Susan Mitchell, again, let me just say her podcast is Bariatric Surgery Success. I recommend it regularly. But tell us a little bit about you, and then I'll tell everybody what I really wanted them to hear from you today.
Well, hi, I'm excited we're together. You know, I'm so used to you being with me every few weeks that it's really nice to be on with you. And this is going to be fun. And I think we have such a great time together because you bring the mental health aspect, which is so critical after surgery. And I bring the nutrition aspect, which I love, because I think, as we've talked before, people often think that bariatric surgery is going to be their end all be all, right? Eating too much, and that it's going to take care of their food issues. And then I say, wait a minute, listen, don't miss this. If that's what you think when you go in, you're going to just be sorely disappointed, because that's not the best you can hope for. And what it's all about is that bariatric surgery gives you that wonderful second chance, if you will, to, learn a new and healthier way of eating. Yes. And to eat smaller amounts. That's what the surgery does. But you have to protect that. And you have to do the work to make sure that that is going to continue over time, and so that you can be successful. So in other words, you know, if you have a small appetite after surgery, to keep that, there's work to be done, right?
Absolutely.
And that's the work we're going to do today.
That's right. I always tell people, this is an opportunity. This is not a guarantee of keeping weight off. This is an opportunity for you to change that lifestyle. So it's an important aspect of getting that weight off, because people struggle for so long and in so many ways to get the weight off. The surgery will help you get that weight off. But what all of your bariatric professionals are telling you is that this is a tool, and you hear it over and over and over again. And it doesn't matter how many times you hear it. People want to believe it's the magic answer, and it's really, really not, right?
And sometimes I actually think you're almost misled to think that, oh, surgery will be your answer. Surgery will be your answer. And it is a beginning answer, but it's only the first step of your transformation to where you want to go. It's going to reduce the size of your stomach or give you a little pouch. You're going to eat much less, but it's up to you then to protect that little pouch and say, I'm not going to eat too much. I'm not going to overfeed it where it might stretch. I'm not going to go back to my old habits. And many people think, well, it's just willpower. Well, you know what? It is nothing to do.
Exactly.
With willpower. Because I don't know about you, but some days I have the willpower to do things and the other days I might forget it. But it's right. Just, you know, it's about commitment. You have to make the commitment to yourself that once I have surgery, I'm going to do what it takes to learn what a healthy bariatric eating plan is. And notice I didn't say the word diet.
Right.
Because it's not a diet. It's like my students used to always say, it's like drop the tea and I feel like I'm going to die.
Oh my gosh. I've never heard that. But I know that's how some people really feel. And
true.
I agree with you. This is not a diet.
No. So you're going to eat well. You're going to eat healthy. You're just going to eat a nutrition plan that's made for bariatric surgery. So if you're thinking, oh yeah, but it's going to be gross. No, let me just tell you, we're talking after surgery and after you've gotten through those first weeks and you're, you know, getting down the track a little bit, right. Regular food. And guess what? That means carbs are allowed.
Right.
The next question I get, it means, you mean I can never eat another carb? Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
Yes, you can. And we'll talk about, you know, how many and what type, but you can eat carbs. You can eat foods that you love and you've always loved, but right. It's going to be in how much and when around the things you need to do in order to make sure you're successful. And that's right. The key.
Exactly. And I love all the things you're saying and the way you're saying them. I always tell people, it's like, think about your children, you know, and they want to play video games after school and they want to watch TV after school and they want to get outside and hang out after school. It's like, you know what? You got to do your work before you get to play. So get your homework done, then your TV. Don't give the reward before you do what you've got to do. So it's kind of like that. We have to hold ourselves accountable. We have to do what we need to do to protect that bariatric surgery. And then you can have some of the things that you, quote, want to have that you thought might be off limits, but they're not, right?
Exactly. And it's really the best way to think about it, because the last thing you want to do is go through surgery. And it's hard. I mean, when people think, oh, I'm just going to have bariatric surgery, it's hard. And it takes a lot of work before and getting approved and getting ready to get on the surgical table, much less the surgery, and then after. And the last thing you want to do is go back to your old eating habits. But I have to tell you, as a dietitian, that's what I see over and over, because people were thinking, well, I had the surgery. I shouldn't be hungry now and I should just not want to eat and should lose the weight.
Right.
But guess what? You can go back to your old habits and you can push that pouch and you can eat slider foods. And before you know it, the weight regain is there. So you don't want to go through all this work. It's much easier to do what you just said, which is get on a committed plan. I'm going to eat what I have to eat every day first. And then if I have room for other little things, which you will on occasion, I can enjoy those. And here's the operative word, with no guilt. Because when you eat correctly, according to the plan that your dietitian, your bariatric dietitian at your surgery center, or however this is working for you, has put you on, and you're doing that, then when it comes time to put in your most favorite treat, no guilt. Because if you have guilt, you know, like that, I'm going to say, it's that bird that sits right here and goes, Connie, I can't believe you just ate that.
And we all have that thing sitting on our shoulder.
And the one that says, and I can't believe you're going to eat the whole thing. And so we just have this negative self-talk. And I really believe you have to take a sock and stuff it in the bird's mouth and say, you know what?
Yes.
I'm eating exactly the way I've been taught to eat after my surgery. And every now and then I'm allowed the treat I want because that's part of living. And you hush up.
Right. And I love that. And I tell people all the time, same thing. Talk back to that voice. Talk back to that negative voice or stick a sock in it, right?
You know, you tell that in our in the talks we have when you're on the podcast. And I love that. It's like stop the ugly self-talk because women, I don't know, you can tell us if men do this as much, but I know women, especially when it comes to weight, we're terrible about this. We get up and the first thing we look in the mirror and we get in the morning.
Women are worse at it. Some men are too. But I do think it's more common to women and it's been ingrained in us from day one, you know,
but and it's so much of the social media that tells us that we're not perfect, insane. You know,
it's insane. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another day's topic, right?
That's another day's topic. But instead, I think you and myself and all of us have to get up. And when we walk into the bathroom and look in the mirror the first day, we need to go, it's going to be a great day. And my body is doing what I want it to do.
You know,
and feed ourselves that.
Absolutely. We have to feed ourselves that. We have to feed ourselves literally in the way that's going to keep our bodies giving us the lifestyle we want. And one of the things that I've been really reading a lot about lately is focusing on the process and not the outcome. So I asked Dr. Susan, let's talk about what is the protocol? What is the process that if you stay in the day and you follow the process for a post-op bariatric patient, then you don't need to worry about where you're headed. Because if you do the wise thing that Dr. Susan's going to give us some guidelines about just today, and then tomorrow you do it just today, and the following day you do it just today, you don't have to worry about and obsess about that scale. You're living a healthy post-op life. And as a post-op bariatric patient, it is different. Your healthy lifestyle is different because you are a post-op. And I want Dr. Susan to kind of give us a general outline of what that looks like.
Okay.
And I think, you know, understanding the difference between feeling stuffed and feeling satisfied is a good place for us to start.
I agree, because most of the time, if you think about, and I'm going to talk about all of us, not just if you've had surgery, in the U.S. anyway, we tend to eat until we're stuffed. And what do I mean by stuffed? I mean, oh man, I can't believe I ate all that. I think I need to lie down on the couch.
Right.
a few minutes.
Feeling.
Right. I know I ate too much. I feel stuffed. I feel bloated. Ooh, I really should have stopped. Okay. And by the way, when you eat to that, you're not to that level of fullness of being stuffed. You're not allowing the message to go from your stomach to your brain to say, I've had enough. Stop now. You know, so that's what you really want to learn after surgery is to listen and train yourself so that you stop eating when you're about 3/4 of the way full, you're satisfied. So satisfied versus stuffed, two different things. Stuff is, okay, too much, need a nap, I'm on the sofa. Satisfied is, I could eat more, but I don't need more. And what I've just eaten now makes me feel as if I'd had plenty and I'm going to stop now. I'm going to listen. And then you give yourself, your body, a chance for the stomach to tell the brain, I'm happy now. I've had enough. And that's the word we call satiety or the feeling of satisfaction. People say, what is that word? Satiety. But basically, it just means learning to be satisfied on less food and not having to push it until you're stuffed.
And I think that's a really important lesson, like you said, for a lot of people, not just a post-op, but We are conditioned in this country to eat until we're stuffed. Serving sizes are ridiculous. And so that's a big change for some people because they're used to that almost painful feeling being what they're familiar with. And that's a change.
I totally agree with that. Plus, in this country, we not only eat until we're full, but we eat because of emotions. And we've talked about this numerous times, that appetite and hunger are two different things. Hunger is when you've like, your blood glucose is low, you haven't had enough calories to satisfy. It's time to fuel your body because it's the next time to have something to eat, as in a post new, you know, bariatric nutrition plan. Appetite is, wow, look at those warm scones that just came out of the oven. Blueberry is my favorite. And before you know it, you got that, the butter, you're slathering it on. And you're eating it, or you're really mad because one of your, somebody at work said something kind of nasty, or a little bit catty, you know, or maybe you had a fight with someone at home and you're thinking, well, dang it, I'm just thinking I'll go right on in there and have myself a piece of chocolate or some of that cake because you have irritated me. That is stress eating is a big part of overeating. And I see it in 2 out of every 3 people.
Oh, wow. That's big. That is big. 2 out of every 3 people. And that's why I've done video after video after video about emotional eating and how to overcome emotional eating. I think people need to take some personal accountability and really do some Dr. Googling on that as well, because there's a lot of good information, but we need healthier coping skills than food when we're
Exactly. And that's where you come in. And then from my side, one of the things that I know works to calm down that emotional eating, whether bariatric surgery or not, but let's focus on after surgery, is when you follow what a really smart nutrition plan is supposed to be for you. When you do that, you will notice you crave less, you emotionally eat less, your weight loss continues, and you don't have the regain issues. So it's, if you're thinking, is it worth it? You bet it's worth it, because when you do it, you keep these other things at bay.
That's right. You know, some people don't really trust that whole satiety, I feel satisfied. What do you do if you're like, all I know is stuffed?
I think that's where you have to say, then right now, I'm going to work on that. But right now I'm going to switch to A, B, C, D that I know I need to do. And that's where I would start with saying, because, and this is the number one question I get asked anyway, so I'll kind of address it with both. I've had bariatric surgery. I'm fully healed. Do I have to continue to make protein this big deal? Is it always going to be a big deal, or can I pick up more on the carbs? So let me just answer this right away, because I think this is critical. So if you're doing something else, listen in here. This is really, really important. From now on, since you've had surgery, protein is your number one choice. It's the number one food that you want to eat every time you have a meal. And you're thinking, why?
Exactly. Why?
Well, there's many reasons. I'll talk about the ones first that have to do with weight loss. Protein runs your metabolism. Muscle, it builds muscle mass. It helps you keep muscle mass. The more muscle mass you have, no matter what age, the more calories you burn, the faster that calorie burning machine goes. It is the number one focus food forever in terms for bariatric surgery for those reasons, but also because it brings you satiety. So when you're searching for satiety and you're thinking, I've never really had it, or I only know fullness, protein is known for its satiety value. So you will fill up more quickly and become satisfied more quickly on less food if you eat protein first.
Love
and
it.
You will help to maintain your muscle mass. If you're lifting weights, working out, doing stretch bands, whatever, you have a chance to build more muscle mass, which means more calorie burn. So those are the reasons. And then you're probably thinking, how much is enough? How much protein do I need? Well, typically I'm going to say you're going to start for a day, not a meal, for a day of 60 to 70 grams of the highest quality protein. Now, there's a difference, animal versus plant, and we'll talk about that in a minute because it does matter. So you want 60 to 70 grams of really high quality protein, which typically is going to be animal-based protein or soy. And if you're using a protein powder, it's going to be a whey protein or a soy protein powder, one of the two. Oh, it actually could be an egg powder as well. All three are very high quality. The easiest to find is going to be whey. So those all can help you get that protein. And then you want to divide it out during the day. So in other words, think of how we eat now. In America, we get up, we have little or no breakfast, right? We're in a hurry. Lunch is a big, Pop-Tart. Lunch is a big salad with no protein. And then all of our protein comes at night. Big piece of meat, big piece of fish, big, you know, tofu, whatever you're been having. And we come in then. That doesn't work. Can't do that anymore. Because you're talking about eating a half a cup to a cup of food as you work your way along the healing process. Less at the beginning.
Eat that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to know more about that cup of food thing, because I think that's an important thing.
Yeah. So let's assume that you're healed and you're out, like you were wanting to know, down the road and where you need to be. You're basically talking about, if you're thinking, I can't seem to manage my portions, I'm not really sure about all this gram stuff, about a cup is what you're looking for at a time down the road. So a half a cup to a cup, and you tend to start out, of course, much less in the beginning. You'll be at a fourth of a cup. You'll be at a couple of tablespoons in the beginning. You know, you'll work your way, couple of tablespoons, an ounce, four tablespoons, which is 2 ounces. You know, you'll work your way half a cup, but down the track some, you should be about at a cup or so. Okay. So again, really that'll vary.
Right. Basically, if you're 2 years, 5 years, 10 years out, you don't want to be eating more than a cup of food. Now, we're not talking a full cup of protein.
Well, you're talking about if you have your plate, protein is going to make up a majority of that meal, followed by veggies, salad, you know, kinds of things that are what I call the free ones, you know, right? The thing, all those great green veggies and stuff. And then a small portion of a carb. A smart carb, we'll talk more about that. I mean, beans, lentils, whole grain choices, whole grain, vegetable choices like corn, things that are high in fiber, that kind of thing, maybe a little fruit. So biggest portion is protein. And you think, well, that's just like what Americans do now. But in your case, remember, the whole idea here is protein is what you want because of the surgery. So on your plate, protein, lots of salad and vegetables, little servings of the other. So you're still looking somewhere about 20 to 25 grams of protein per meal. Okay. A cup is going to be, there's never a pat answer. I want to say that clear. She told me a cup. Why? Some people work out really hard. They get back into marathon running. I have a bariatric client. She's a marathon runner. You think a cup of food's going to do her? No way. Yes. They'll leave her on the pavement. So if your life, as you get back into things, if you're working out hard, you're going to need more food more frequently. So that's why I say it's never one answer for one person. This is variable, but this is a guide to start with.
I love that. That's a great response. And I really love how you described the reason that protein is so important. Now, what about some people think, well, I've always done this by calories. Is there a calorie range type of thing?
Yeah. And I actually think that some people do better. You know, many dietitians will say, I want you to count calories. Other dietitians will say, no, I'm going to give you a gram range for protein and for carbs. And if you get those right, you're going to be fine. And then others will say, I want you to take an app like Lose It or MyFitnessPal or whatever you like. And I want you just to track what you're doing every day and see it from the full parameter. My answer is, whatever you will do is the one that you will be successful with.
I'm with you 100% there. Do what works for you.
But I'll tell you one thing. Starting out counting grams of protein is very smart. Do you have to do it always? No. Why do it in the beginning? When you have to count grams of protein, let's say that you have a portion size and you know that this is 21 grams of protein. Maybe it's 3 ounces of meat, just kind of rough. You learn visually that this is what 20 to 25 grams of protein looks like visually in a piece of fish and a piece of turkey, whatever. So with time, you're able to really do it both ways. Oh, that size meat is about 20 to 25 grams of protein. And that 20 to 25 grams of protein should look like this. See where I'm going? So in the beginning, you're super smart to kind of do both. Learn what a portion size is for you. Learn how many grams of protein that is. It will serve you well down the road when you don't want to do it anymore because you've learned it.
Right. So as far as some people will say, you know, some people say my dietitian and surgeon said eat 3 meals, no snacks. Some say eat every 3 to 4 hours.
I say it's okay. Again, no pat answer. Most people do well on 3 meals. Some people, though, find that they're still hungry because they work out more. Therefore, they need 2 snacks in between so as not to get stuffed at their meals. Okay. If they're trying to maintain 1/2 cup to 1 cup around that area and they're working out and they need more food, they don't want to eat till they're stuffed or they're going to push the pouch, so to be. So I'd rather then see them add 2 snacks. Again, snack is not equivalent to slider food, meaning ice cream, cookies, candy. Snack means protein and a high fiber carb.
Okay. Yes.
So that's a snack, and that's a snack built for the bariatric diet. So again, calories can range, we'll hit in the middle at about 1,000, but typically they're going to be 900 to 1200 down the road. Okay. 900 to 1200, depending on, but again, if you become super active and work out hard, you're going to be way beyond 1200 calories. Right. And that's going to mean probably working with a sports dietitian and working in snacks in between with more protein and things like that. So that's why I always say these are parameters, but everything should be personalized.
Agreed completely. So what about the liquid protein versus the protein foods?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. Liquid protein, of course, is pretty much what you start with. And immediately you get on protein shakes or protein powders that you're putting into puddings, drinks, whatever, or both. It's all fine. But really, a couple of weeks down the road, you want to be getting yourself onto the allowed regular food and move in that direction. Here's why, and this is critical to success. When your pouch is reduced, your stomach is reduced, right? We all have a similar size stomach. And depending on the surgery you go to, you're going to have a pouch that's more like a lemon versus a football. Okay.
Right.
So when it's that size, it can only hold so much food. When you're drinking liquids, they go through quickly, but they don't leave you what's missing. You got it. This is why most dietitians will say, I want you to move to real food as quickly as this allows in the diet. But there's a reason for that. When you have that small pouch, you feel what's called restriction. In other words, if you're eating liquids, you don't feel that, or drinking liquids, because they go right through. When you have to start a whole food, like a piece of chicken that you chew and chew and chew and chew, you get full on that. And as it goes into the pouch, because it's a whole food, it fills the pouch and you feel the restriction. You want to feel the restriction. That's a good thing. Notice I didn't say, I want you to stuff the pouch and stretch it and be miserable. No, I want you to eat what you're allowed to eat in real food, because real food fills the pouch, makes you feel the restriction that says to you, I'm satisfied. That's how you start to learn. But if you keep going by eating foods that don't feel the restrict, make you feel it, like protein things or ice cream or puddings, even cottage cheese, which is high protein, if they're not requiring you to work, chew them, work, get in the little, and then feel the restriction. Sure. You're not going to feel like I've had enough, and you're going to just keep eating.
That is so useful and helpful. I'm learning quite a bit that I need to know. And I know the listeners are too.
Ah, good. I hope
this
so. That's
great. This is the basics, man. This is, people need to listen to this over and over and over again, right? Now let's talk about those carbs, because that's the one everybody gets all shaken up about.
Yeah. And most people think, once I've done this, that I can't have any carbs, you know, that this is done. Carbs are bad. I don't know why we think carbs are bad in this country anyway, but carbs actually fuel your brain. So when you're starting to drag your patootie around, you know, which we feel kind of, worn out after surgery, that we're just kind of dragging around. For one thing, if you've cut out all your carbs, you're going to have major brain fog and you're going to feel tired. So carbs are important. And really, and depending on how far out of surgery are, you're going to look for total per day, not per meal, 90 to 130 grams a day, 90 to 130 grams a day. So you can see then that you're going to be splitting those up. If you've got three meals, it may be 30 to 40 grams a meal. If you've got three meals, two snacks, you can see that you're going to break those out. But I think what's important is the type of carb.
I do too.
That you choose.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that, okay? Because people are like, oh, great. That means, you know, Twinkies and Oreos and Ho-Hos are grand. That's a carb.
Those are only every now and then very special foods. On a day-to-day basis, remember, you want to feed your brain so you can actually do things, right? And you want to have enough energy to get off your patootie and go. Right. So your protein should be doing what it's doing, which is muscle maintenance, metabolism, building muscle. Carbs fuel the brain and they give you the glucose and the energy to go. So you want what I call smart carbs.
Yes.
Smart carbs. And you're thinking, what the heck is a smart carb? Some people refer to them as complex carbohydrates. Right. All right. I call them smart carbs. Why? Because they're one of the keys to your success. Right. And a smart carb is contains fiber and it's a whole food. Vegetables, fruit, whole grains, beans, lentils. Those are all referred to as complex carbs or smart carbs. They're not the ones that we reach for under stress. Yes. Which I'll call AKA slider foods. And you're thinking, what the heck is a slider food?
Yeah.
It's basically a soft, mushy food that never makes you feel satisfied. And no matter how much you eat, you can just keep on eating because there's never that feeling of restriction or that feeling of I've had enough. So when you choose your carbs, they want to be from these things that we're talking about. But every now and then, sure, you allow yourself, if Twinkies are your go-to, I don't mean you need to eat the whole Twinkie, but eat a piece of it.
Right.
But what first? Eat your protein first, your smart carbs first, then have it. Because if you eat it first, you will have no control. Yeah. And those Twinkies will just call your name. Connie, just have another one.
Yes.
So timing is everything.
Right. And understanding what occasional means. Occasional doesn't mean, you know, morning, afternoon, and evening for you know, processed, non-nutritious foods.
But you know what? If you're doing what we talked about, again, going back to protein first, and you're not, and you move from protein drinks to real foods, and you chew it up, and it makes you feel satisfied, and you add to that complex carbs, and you add to that healthy, a little amount of fat, you're not going to be starving. It's going to cut down on emotional eating, and a small amount of a Twinkie is going to be so enjoyable.
Exactly.
Then it works. It works. And you don't have dumping syndrome.
Yes. Although I always tell people, unless you're a person who, once you start with sugar, you can't stop. Then you might have to.
Yes. Some people just will admit, I can't control it. And if you know that's you, those are things, again, you have to go back to saying, well, this doesn't work for everybody. No, that's why nutrition is so personalized.
That's right. It absolutely is. Absolutely is. But let's go back to these, like, what about seeds and nuts and that sort of thing? And serving size, I think, is important there.
And most people will do fine with seeds and nuts down the road. And again, seeds and nuts have a lot of fiber. They also contain protein. So they're going to provide that satiety as long as well as fiber. They're going to help prevent constipation. I know people go, oh no, the big C word. She does have to talk about that.
Always.
But I'm just going to tell you, constipation and bariatric surgery go hand in hand. Right. So one of the ways to prevent that is getting your fluids, yes, and getting your fluids with high fiber foods. If you eat high fiber foods and no fluid, you're going to feel like a concrete block, and you're going to be hunting my email and trying and giving it to
me. Fiber plus fluid.
They are best friends, and they have to go together. So yeah, and it's always good because nuts and seeds are high calorie. The amount's going to be much smaller. You know, you're going to be looking at a teaspoon or two, depending on your caloric level. And it's real easy to look at the calories on the bag and see where you are. And usually what I do is tell people, and they can be a snack in with something else, but they're also great sprinkled on top of things. So there's a lot of ways to use them. But then they also provide the fat in the bariatric diet, the monounsaturated or heart healthy
fat.
Yeah. Type of fat. Exactly. So you can see that it's all good. It's all real food. It's all things you've always eaten. It's just right. Learning to bring that size down.
Right. So Greek yogurt, which is a, you know, low fat Greek yogurt, great source of protein. But if you put the nuts in there, you'll have more satiety, right?
Exactly. Because even though it's super high protein, Greek yogurt, non-fatty is, it's a good choice, but it's not a slider food in that it's not a processed carb that's just sugar right. And goodies, okay? But it is a soft food that right. Wouldn't make you feel full, and you'd have a little and go, really, is this all there is?
Right.
So if you take your fresh fruit or your seeds and nuts or both together and put them yes. into the yogurt, then you're going to create that feeling, that restriction that says, I've had enough.
And a wonderful taste treat too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. So this grazing business, let's talk a little bit about grazing, because a lot of people prior to surgery are unaware that they are grazing.
Yeah. And what, if you're thinking, what do I mean by grazing? Grazing to me is when you're just reaching for food unconsciously. In other words, you're not aware of what it is you're eating, nor how much you're eating, or if it even tastes good, if it's stale. It's like having a bag of chips on your desk or having some kind of candy on your desk, and you're doing something else, but it's just there. Okay. That's grazing on something not beneficial. It's different grazing when it's your snack time. Well, people say, well, I've been told not to have snacks. Well, grazing, if they're part of snacks, because you need those additional snacks during the day, which many people do, when the snack is built healthily, like we said, a protein, high fiber, carb, right. That kind of grazing is part of your built-in plan. It's not saying, forget that. I'm just going to go get some ice cream. And I got the carton here and I had a bad day and I'm grazing. There's, right. Do you see the difference? One is not planned at all. And right. It's not mindful eating and you're not even aware of how it tastes.
Right.
The other is I'm having a snack between my small meals. Intentional, and this is what I'm having, and I'm going to love it every bit of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's different. So, you know, grazing of the slider food type, not a good thing. It will lead you back to weight regain. It can ultimately stretch your pouch just a little bit. And
yeah, we don't want that.
You won't be where you want to be.
Yeah, this whole, I've been doing a thing these last couple of weeks, and today's kind of the culmination of it, called refuse regain. And you refuse regain by doing what Dr. Susan is talking about today.
And then you don't ever get to the point of saying, I needed to do, what's that diet called? Pouch reset, you know, yeah. And that's so big right now. What I tell people is I'm not a fan of it. It's a diet. But what right. I am a big fan of is mindset reset. Mindset reset.
That is brilliant.
So that just means let's go back to what you know you were supposed to do. So in a way, it's like pouch, but it's not restrictive and nutty right. and all that. Let's go back to what you're supposed to do. And let's begin with our steps. Protein first, whole food, chew it up, feel the restriction, build it in with smart carbs, add the healthy fat, occasional treat.
Oh, that just summed up everything I wanted people to know. There's your process, my friend. That is your process. And if you do that day after day after day with an occasional, you know, when there's a whatever for you and you get that unprocessed or that processed sweet, that's fine. But if Absolutely. You do what Dr. Susan is saying, and that is your process, you will get the results your body is going to give you. And they will be healthy, right? You don't have to get all hung up on diets. And what I really hope for people is they get out of that diet mindset and just learn to live a healthy life so Absolutely. They can enjoy that healthy life. One last thing, let's talk about fluid because like you said, you don't want to carry a brick in your gut by eating the fiber without the fluid.
Right. So fluid, best to have it, you know, fluid is the whole key to preventing dehydration. And many people post-surgery go back to the hospital because they're dehydrated. It's probably that one of the number one issues that sends people back in is Right. that they're dehydrated. So having your fluid, and you want to have your fluid separate from your meals. And you're thinking, but why? But remember why. If you drink the fluids at the same time you're eating, what do you think happens?
You're pushing that food right on through. You're
not Exactly. And the fluids don't fill you up and you don't get in all the nutrient dense foods I want you to get in and you don't have that restriction feel. So fluids need to come separate and plenty of them, of them. A good 8 cups a day. I mean, yeah, good 8 cups a day, 64 ounces plus, but not so much that you can't eat your real food. So again, everything, you know, just kind of have right. to balance. Right.
Oh, I love this. This is so beautiful and great. And I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
Thank you.
And again, I want to tell you, when I signed up for your emails, your newsletters, I have been learning so much. So if you haven't signed up for Dr. Susan's, her emails, her newsletters, they are full of really important information. So how can people get those?
Thank you. They just can sign up right on the website, which is breakingdownnutrition.com, breakingdownnutrition.com. And you'll see it on the homepage. Comes out weekly and it kind of gives you lots of tips and also leads you right to the episode, whatever we're talking about in the podcast. So everything is right there.
And it's everything that I hear people talking about. So you are on top of this stuff because you listen to your listeners.
My peeps. We have a great private Facebook group that you know about. And you're welcome to join us. Anyone can join us in the private Facebook group. Just Google Dr. Susan Mitchell or Bariatric Surgery Success. You'll find it. And you're welcome to. But we talk in there and we, you know, get with what's going on and answer Absolutely. Questions. So.
And there is no such thing as too much good information. And that is why I'm having Dr. Susan on, because she is good. And seriously, listen to her podcast. She's brilliant, too. Oh, her podcast is only 10 minutes. And so, you know, you can listen in between running errands. You can listen to it quick in the evening or early in the morning. And it's just really, really a wise and wonderful podcast.
Well, thank you. Like, thank you. It's really just there to serve. It's the questions that I'm getting asked and the Facebook group. It's what people are not getting before surgery and sometimes after that needs that they need to make their journey what they want. And that's what I want to do. I want you to have a successful outcome.
I thank you so much for being You're with welcome. Me today. And so I know you learned a lot today and I would really encourage you to listen to this over and over and over again, and be sure to share this episode with anybody you know who has had, is thinking about, or is preparing for weight loss surgery. And it doesn't matter how long ago they had the surgery. This is the basics. This is what you need to focus on each and every day. Thank you so much for being with me, Susan.
And my pleasure.
We'll have you back on again soon, okay?
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
Bari Aftercare, look up the whole program. It's bariaftercare.com. All right. I'll see you next time. As always, it's your health, your responsibility, this day and every day. Talk soon. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Berry Aftercare, the podcast. The information shared on this podcast is considered psychoeducation and does not constitute therapy or a therapeutic relationship. Be sure to check out all the great information I provide, much of it free, by visiting my website at www.ConnieStapletonPhD.com. Be sure to leave your positive comments for this podcast and listen in next week to learn more ways to live your best post-op life.